Greetings in the Savior's blessed name. According to what you have heard, I am a very busy person. There's nothing better than being busy for the Lord. There are some people who are busy for themselves, for the world, and they do not realize that one day all that busyness will boil down to nothing. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, and the great things that one can acquire in this earth, soon, one day, will be reduced to nothing. Thank God that you and I are here this morning. You know, I want to congratulate you for being here, for the simple reason that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and His family. And in the final analysis, when the world will perish, God has the family of God of heaven here, which He will take with Him in that day to come. Do you have that blessed hope, dear friends? The Lord is coming. Now, we will begin with Revelation chapter 1. You know, our Lord Jesus, when He ascended to heaven, left His disciples, "Welcome, Dr. Ng." And is that your sister, huh? Well, so good to see you here. We're talking of the New Testament church that the Lord is pleased with. And our scripture reading now turns to Revelation chapter 1. The Lord Jesus, when He returned to heaven after His work was done, He left 11 disciples with the command, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and whosoever will believe, baptize them into the church of Jesus Christ." And this is what we have done. Now, the topic today poses us a question. Are we doing that which is pleasing unto the Lord? Is He pleased with this church? How can we know? You know, while the Lord Jesus is in heaven, preparing to come, do you believe in this? That He is coming? Oh, my friends, the problem with the church today is that church has fallen away, and the church does not believe Jesus is coming back again. But the Lord is interested in how we are doing on earth. Is this church pleasing to Him? Chapter 1, verse 7. Here He sends a message, and that message, although written to the churches of Asia Minor in those days, that message speaks to us this morning. It's so pertinent. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." Even so, amen. This is the eyewitness writing of the Apostle John. Do you remember John? One of the 12, and he was, as far as we can tell, the longest surviving disciple. By the time he wrote this, he could have been about 90 years old. And the Lord Jesus came to speak to him, to appear to him. Where was John? We read on. Verse 8, "I am Alpha and Omega," says Jesus Christ to him, to His beloved disciple John. "I am the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." What a blessed thing. John was at that time an exile, under persecution, an exile from the land of the Jews to an isle called Patmos off the Greek coast. Verse 9, "I, John, says the writer, and make this very personal to yourself as you read it. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. What kind of tribulation is he talking about? The church was under persecution. The Roman Empire hated the Christians, and they were persecuting them, and so the Christians underwent terrible persecution. Under Nero, they were fed to lions. You may have recalled this. And your companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. This is John's account of where he was, how he came to write this letter, that on that morning, Jesus Christ appeared to him. Read on, please. On the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ was the reason why he was in Patmos. No crime of any kind except for the word of God that he preached. So do we today, dear friends. The most precious thing you and I have is the word of God. Without this word, we have nothing. We do not know the meaning of life, the purpose of living here, where we are going, where we came from. All is in this book. And this is the testimony. John, because of his testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, was put in the Isle of Patmos. Verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Jesus speaking to him sounded so loud, it was like a trumpet sound to him. Can you imagine it? And what was Jesus saying? Verse 11, I am Alpha and Omega. Alpha, the first alphabet in the Greek alphabet, the first letter. Omega is the last. So here is the name that Jesus Christ calls himself. I am the one who began it all. Today, sadly, the world assumes from the day of Darwin that we came from evolution somehow. Somehow, some years ago. And if you don't like it, as 500 million, when I was a medical student, I learned the origin of species. It taught that life began 500 million. Now people become more smart. They say, oh, it's 1,000 million years, 1 billion years. No, no, not enough. Make it 3 billion. If you like it, we increase to 6 billion. These are fictions. So Jesus Christ is the beginning. He is our creator. Without him, we are nothing. We can do nothing. He made us, and he put us here for a purpose. Do you know this? And if so, he's also the Omega. He does not create us, put us on earth, and forget about us. We have a wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, our Maker. And he is coming for us. And for this reason, we are concerned whether this church and whether you and I are doing things that please him. This is the theme for this morning, that we may all examine ourselves. Is this church pleasing to the Lord? Because very soon he'll come, Omega, the ending. He is the judge. One day he's coming. Are you ready? Are you pleasing him? This is the theme for this morning. So here we continue to read in verse 11. Jesus says, I am the creator. I am the judge, Omega, the one who ends it all. He is coming to take an account of you and me. How are you doing? the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches in Asia. Now, as I read this passage, and in order to help us understand the theme, the New Testament church that the Lord is pleased with, are we that kind of church? Do you and I fit into that kind of description, that kind of mold? Is your life pleasing to the Lord? This is our morning's theme. Far better than going out to the beach. I suppose it's too cold for the beach, but Sydney, Australia, you know, when we first came here, the Aussies said to us, why do we need Jesus Christ? In Australia, we have everything. We have sand, we have sun, we have sex, everything, you name it, we have it. We are enjoying life so much. What are you talking about Jesus Christ for to us? I came also to attend a medical meeting, and I attended yesterday. All the doctors are there. And do you know that almost none of them have heard of Jesus Christ in a serious way? Oh, Jesus Christ, superstar. That's about all they know. How sad. And I spoke to them. I said, years ago, your Australian missionaries came to tell us about Jesus in Singapore. Today, when I ask you, none of you know anything seriously about Jesus Christ. And so it is a reverse cycle. Whereas years ago you came to tell us, now I come and tell you. Jesus Christ, Creator, the Maker of everything, coming again. At the end of the speech, the chairman stood up and said, thank Dr. Toh for a very inspiring message. That's about all he can say. You know, Australians are very polite people, and no matter what you say, they say thank you very much. Now, we are concerned today, are we doing rightly? When the Lord Judge comes back, he's going to inquire from all of us. Of course, the unbelieving world will all be sent for judgment. They perish. You thank God, dear friends, every day thank God. When you realize how blessed we are to know the Creator and to know Him as Savior, and not only that, as Lord, as Master, as Father, as a brother, and as the bridegroom. We are the bride. How affectionate we are to Him, and how much He values us. This is our status. Now He's coming back and He wants to know, are you doing well? Are you? How is your spiritual life? What kind of church is Jesus Christ expecting to see? You know, Jesus, when He left for heaven, left only 11 poorly educated folks, mostly fishermen. Are fishermen usually very well educated? No. You don't need to know too much of studies to do fishing. And this is the disciples that Jesus Christ left behind and said, go into all the world and tell them about a Savior. How can they do it? Do you know how? Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. It is necessary, expedient, that I return to where I came from. But if I don't return, the Holy Spirit will not come. And the Holy Spirit is going to continue the work that I have been doing. And it is the Holy Spirit that causes you to come here, to hear the gospel, and to rejoice with the gospel, and to say thank God. How could we do it, dear friends? How? Answer: Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God in us that keeps telling us, this is the way, this is the Savior, this is our heavenly home, our eventual dwelling place is with God, not on earth. So that even though this life will perish, whereas the outward man perish, the person you can see here standing is not far from death. It will perish. Young people, don't think you will not perish. Yes, you say, I don't like to think of death. But death is thinking of you. So we all must be ready. So we must be ready always, at all times, to meet the Savior when He comes. Welcome, dear sister. Come and take a seat. I'm talking about the Creator, the one who made us, and the one who is coming back for us. Behold, I come quickly. Do you believe this, dear friends? And until He comes, He has work for you and me to do. We who are believers are the mouth and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to go and to tell others. On earth, Jesus Christ has no one else but you and me and the believers outside to go and continue the work. And He wants to know, when He comes back, will you be found faithful? Are we doing the right things? Examine yourselves this morning. I congratulate you. You did not go and spend the day doing your own things, having your own pleasure, having your favorite hobbies and things to keep you busy. No, that we are here today to examine what kind of a church and what kind of a Christian will please the Lord when He comes. And this letter is written to seven churches in Asia Minor, seven. And six of them were rebuked. Something is not quite right with the church for these six. But there is one that did not get a rebuke. And this is the one that the Lord will be pleased with if He should return. And this is the one I'm going to share with you. Revelation chapter 3. The kind of New Testament church that Jesus Christ will be pleased with should be the kind of church that this church is. And you should be the kind of Christian that was a member of the Church of Philadelphia. What is Philadelphia? Do you know this? This is a Greek word. Church of brotherly love. Brotherly love. Oh, it is a wonderful name, wonderful name. Verse 7 in chapter 3, Revelation. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, this is a message that Jesus wants the church in Philadelphia to receive. And supposing we put ourselves in the place of the Church of Philadelphia, this letter is to you. This letter is to me. Now we read on. These things says He that is holy and true. Who is He that is holy and true? Jesus Christ, the one who gave this message to John to write to the churches, including the good church Philadelphia. He that has the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. What do you mean by the key of David? David is the greatest king of Israel, the greatest ever. But Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of David because David is honored. So that the throne of God that Jesus Christ will sit on is called the throne of David. to remember this faithful servant of God. And Jesus Christ is authorized. He is the one who saved us, the one who came and laid down His life for us. And for that he gained the title of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and the one who has the authority over the throne of David with the key. The key signifies authority. You hold the key to this building, you are the authority. Jesus Christ has the key. And He wants to find out how you are doing. When He opens, no man can shut. When He shuts, no man can open. He is the Alpha or the Omega, the one who has the authority. Now what does it say to you and me? Verse 8. Listen carefully. Jesus says, I know your works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Praise the Lord. I say congratulations. Congratulations. If this is what the Lord says to you, I say we can have every reason to rejoice. Today, if the Lord says to you, I know your works, I know how you are doing, you're not doing badly at all. Wonderful. He says, you have a little strength. Dear friends, we do not need great strength, but we need obedience and faithfulness. This is what the Lord looks for. But He gives us a little strength, so that with that little strength we can serve Him in our little ways. How are you serving Him? It's not necessary that all of us go to theological seminary to get the spiritual strength. No. Holy Spirit is your teacher. Are you waiting on Him every day? Are you? How do I wait on the Holy Spirit? How do I know God's will for me? Answer is in the book. Here is the book, the guidebook to life, the guidebook to our heavenly home, the guidebook to how we ought to live, the guidebook to every purpose and every question in life is only in one book. This is the book you ought to know, to love, to read, to meditate, and to pray over. And pray what? Holy Spirit, help me to understand. Unless you know the will of God, how can you do it? And unless you do the will of God, how can you please Him? So, ask yourself, do I know God's will? Am I doing it? For only when I do God's will God be pleased with me as a member of this church. And if all of us are doing God's will, God will surely be pleased with this church. No other way. Verse 8 again. Jesus says to you, I know your works. How you are doing? You say, I'm only a student. What can I do? I say, dear friends, every one of us, no matter what you are, housewife, worker, teacher, student, you name it. Jesus can use you just where you are, what you are. He can use you for a witness by the way you live, by the way you speak, by the way you conduct yourself, and of course, by your testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you doing that? We're not in secret service. Every Christian is to be a public spokesman for the Lord Jesus Christ by your life, by your lip, by the way you conduct yourself. Show forth. Jesus says, I know your works. Don't pretend. And don't live a secret life. There is no need to. We will live an open life to let people know I am a Christian. Then Jesus will look down from heaven and say, I know your works. You have a little strength, and if not, deny yourself the opportunity to use that little strength to serve the Lord. Don't say, I have only a little strength, therefore I cannot serve the Lord. No. Little strength means you serve Him faithfully with that little strength. The power will come from Jesus Christ. He will send the Holy Spirit. Then your little strength with faith, witnessing becomes a powerful witness. Do you know that? Oh, my friends, how are we doing? Will the Lord say to you, well done, you faithful servant. When He comes back, right now He has not come. Do you know when He's coming back? We never set dates. All we know is, occupied till He come. Are you doing that? What do you mean by occupied till He come? Jesus went away, according to the parable, to take hold of a kingdom. And He left His servants, everyone, 10 servants, everyone, £1. And said, occupy till I come. Keep busy. We are all servants. Let me ask you, what is the purpose of the servant? What is his duty? Answer? What is the answer? What does the servant do? To do my master's will. To please my master. If he wants me to do something, I will do it to the best of my ability because I'm only a servant. He pays me. He employs me to serve him. And my job is to please my master. Are you doing that? And left you £1, he says, go and trade for me. Go and do business for me and see what you can earn with this £1. Are you doing that? The master is coming back, and when he comes, he says, come, let us take an account. You know, salvation is free, but it is not cheap. Salvation is to get us into the kingdom of God, and then the Lord Himself will one day come and ask you, hey, what have you been doing for me? I gave you £1 to go and trade. What have you been doing for me? The lazy servant says, oh, you master, you are very hard master. No? I was so afraid to lose your money, I just kept it under my pillow. Every night I dream, I sleep on the money. Here it is, your $1. Master says, you wicked, lazy, slothful, useless servant. Throw him out. Let there be no one like that. But let us be like the £10 man. When the master came back, he says, Lord, you gave me £1. See, I've traded wisely for you, and I've earned £10. Can you do that? You know what the Lord will do to that servant? Do you know what? Something amazing I did not appreciate until I read that parable. The Lord says, well done! I've got my kingdom now. I'm now the king of a great kingdom, and there are so many cities, I give you 10. You look after 10 cities for me. I know thy works, dear friends, the Lord Jesus says to you. I know your works. Whether you are worth £1 or £10, £5, make sure that you are serving the Lord, doing His work today, so that He can say, this church is very pleasing to me. It's so good. Jesus died to buy you and us back to Himself, to purchase us, to ransom us. He paid the price, His own life blood, so that you and I can belong to Him and be part of His kingdom. Now He says, go and tell others. Go and win other souls for me. Are we doing that? Don't keep your salvation to yourself, but every one of us has little strength. Just a little strength is enough. With that little strength, go out and tell others. Jesus says, I've given you an open door. When I went into missions, I had no experience whatsoever. All I did was to tell my elder brother, who was the founding pastor, I said, big brother, I'm going to say goodbye to your church. I want to go into mission. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the far west of Singapore. Sounds a long way, isn't it? You know, Singapore is only a peanut. East to west is only about 25 miles. 25 miles! You can fit at least, I think, 500 Singapores into the state of New South Wales. That's how small Singapore is. Anyhow, I said, I'm going to do missions. You have a little strength. Do what you can. I can't conquer a whole country for the Lord. But west of Singapore, because there was no Bible Presbyterian church, in fact, no good church at all in the western part of Singapore. That is in the area, those of you who come from Singapore understand, the Jurong area. So, what can you do going there? You've no experience at all, but I had a little strength. Dear friends, have faith, a little strength with a great God behind you, a great God who promises you to say, lo, I'm with you always. Even unto the end of the world, I'm with you always. Go and be my servant. Go and tell others. So I did, went to the far west of Singapore. At that time, there was a corporation, which is still there, called Jurong Town Corporation. And I heard that the chairman was a certain Mr. Woon. I said, I remember this man was a lecturer in the university where I was. Let me go and see Mr. Woon. I walked into his office. He says, hello, Xiang Hua. What are you doing here? I said, I came to see you, see whether I can start a church. He said, is that right? Come. Here is a piece of land. On this map, look at this piece of land. It's earmarked for religious use. And nobody has come to ask for it but you. You can have it. Praise the Lord. To buy that piece of land would have cost us at least $2 million. I didn't have a cent. But he says, you pay rental. Praise the Lord. A little strength with faith and obedience. Lord, use my little strength. Let's all tell ourselves we do not need superhuman strength to do superhuman things for God. We need a little strength with faith to say, Lord, if you say, go into all the world and preach the gospel, I will go. And the result, I leave it to you. So we started a church in Jurong. 24,500 square feet of land. We built a church. I said, let's build small, because we are don't to be too ambitious. And then when the small church is filled, then we have no choice to go again and to build another bigger church. It happened exactly in 4 years' time. The church was full, 400 people. So again, I went to Jurong Town, and Mr. Woon says, what are you here for? I said, the same thing. He says, well, you know, other people are given a 3-year limit to do what they ought to do with the lease of the land. And some of them don't finish their building in 3 years, but you have done it in 2 years. So come. What do you want? I said, I want to build another church. This time he showed me 98,000, four times the size of the last one. On the same terms, you don't have to buy it, you just pay rental. Our Lord is great, our God is great. Dear friends, it is only required of us obedience. Don't be the 1 pound servant. Took the 1 pound and put under the pillow and says, I'm so afraid of my master, I dare not do anything for him. Dear friends, don't be afraid, have faith. Now let's see what happens to the Church of Philadelphia. Again, verse 8. We serve a master who is very concerned in how we do, what we do. And he says, I know your works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. Thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. Praise the Lord. I pray that when the Lord comes, all of us can stand before him blameless. Can you? And the Lord will say, I know your works. You have little strength, but you have not denied my name. You have gone and preached the gospel where others have not heard of the gospel. You are my servant on earth. I cannot come down again to do the work. My work is not to go and tell gospel to everybody on earth. My work was to die for you, to buy you back to God, and then you can go and tell others. And he says, I kept the door open for you. Are you going in? No man can shut it. I've opened the door. Verse 10. Now, here is the reward. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Whatever that hour of temptation, the Lord says, I will keep you. Never be afraid. You know, times are perilous. Today we live in a very ungodly world. It's getting worse and worse and worse. 20 years ago, I was observing how the homosexual debate went on in Australia. Today, no more debate. It's openly accepted. Right? Singapore is going through the debate now. At the moment, the conservatives are in power. So, we don't need gays yet. But it will come. It will come. Dear friends, we live in perilous times. And the Lord will come. The Lord must come, because when mankind want to live like animals and to think that they are animals, God cannot tolerate such kind of disobedience and rebellion. You know, sex is a gift of God to us to live holy lives. Only one way. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And that law governs the use of sex. There's no other way. It's not by education. Straits Times keeps telling the public, you parents get busy and teach your children about sex. I said, nonsense. Sex is not to be taught by parents to children. Little children, and tell them what is sex. What do they know about sex? Why should they know about sex? What for? What for? When they get married, they will know about sex. But we all ought to understand. It is a gift of God for us to live holy lives for Him. That's all. And when we reach that time, God will teach us. Not every father and mother keep telling the little children who can hardly walk about sex. You know, in the papers, every now and again they read, 13-year-old boy makes a 10-year-old girl pregnant. And now what to do with the baby? Amazing things are happening. Perilous times. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept my word. Let us keep his word. Keep God's word. The holy law of God is for us to walk safely, to walk righteously, to to obey His law. Don't say, I didn't know. The law is there for us. And the law is so good. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation. I love it every day. Can you say that? How many of you drive? I think all of you drive. Some of you not yet. All right. When you drive, the first thing you got to know is highway code, the law of the road. Correct. Commandments of the road. You say, I don't like them. Throw them away. No way. No way. To live your life correctly, you need the commandments of God. It is like the highway code. You want to drive your car properly, you got to know the highway code. You want to live your life properly, you need to take God's 10 commandments. There's no way, no other way. Because the maker knows what to do with the product. We are the products. He's the maker. Okay, now let's see. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation. Whatever that hour of temptation, it is going to be a bad time. The world is going upside down. I say, stand fast on the word of God. Keep faithful to Him. And He will preserve you in that hour of temptation. Now when that hour comes, you have no way to seek for help except in God. You know that. Oh, our Lord is able to save unto the uttermost. Keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now comes the crunch verse, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Dear friends, remember this verse 11. It is the verse that keeps us all on our toes, alert, always ready for the Lord's coming. Are you? This morning's message becomes alive because I expect my Lord to appear anytime. Don't set a date. Don't say, well, you BPs always tell us about Jesus coming. Up to now, 50 years, still nothing happened. Therefore, conclusion, Jesus will never come. I say, right? Wrong. Wrong conclusion. Wrong conclusion. We never set a date. We never told you that Jesus is coming in 1969 or 1999 or whatever. No date. But Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Be ready. Occupy till I come. Keep doing that which you need to do for Him before He comes. When He comes, He will give you the reward. Verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God. What is the meaning of he write the name of God on you? What is the meaning? You belong to him. He claims you. He writes his name on you. You will never be lost. When you send a letter, ordinary, you just put the stamp and put in the box. When it is a pressure letter, what do you do? Register, right? Pay extra, it becomes R letter. When the most precious letter, what do you do? AR. Ever posted the AR letter? It goes with the card. And the recipient must sign that he received that thing. You are a specially marked letter. God will write his name on you. You are mine. I claim you. How are you doing, dear friend? You have the name of God written on you. And the name of the city of my God also written on you, the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Amazing. Dear friends, there's nothing better than to have the name of God written on you. To know that you are claimed. To know that you are a child of God. And to know that you are precious. And to live like it. Let us all live like it every day. Serving the Lord. Verse 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Hear what the Spirit says to you, dear friends, today, on this 6th of November, 2010. You've heard the message. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man takes your crown. Live like it. Live as a child of God. Because he has written his name on you. We belong to him. Live for him. Serve him. He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let us pray. Please spend a minute in silent meditation. Confession of sins that you have committed. Confessing the sins of neglect and callousness. Praying that the Lord will revive in us that first love, that we will love him more, serve him with greater fervency and willingness, serve him with joy until he comes. Our Father and our God, may thou speak to your people, that all who name the name of Christ, all who call themselves Christians, from this day will resolve to live for thee, even though we have a little strength, that we will use that little strength faithfully to serve thee, to spend and be spent for thee, that when the Savior appears, the great Alpha and Omega, that we will not be ashamed. O Lord, bless your people, revive our hearts. We pray this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.